Well, praise God. Glad everybody's here this morning. I see several guests around with us this morning, and I don't know if y'all know this, but there's a recently one of the most awesome books ever published in the face of the earth. It's by sort of a unknown author, but up and coming author named Robert Richards. Anyway, I have those books back there about praying the Word. It's one of the most important things in your life. If you're a first-time guest or you've never received one of these books, just lift your hands. Our ushers have got a bunch back there. I want to give everybody one. Everybody just get one, take one, read it, pass it out, take 10, 15, 20 of them. I don't care. I'm about getting rid of things. Got some over here, some back there in the back, a couple right over here. I can't ever sell them, so I just like to give them away. Praise God. We just sent a bunch down to Alamo, Texas, to the church down there, and now they're going to take it and they're going to print it in Spanish, and so praise God, we're going to get it all over Mexico, so I'm excited about that. Praise God. But I am one of the only preachers in the world who prints books, writes books, prints books, sells, never sells books, gives books, multiple languages, all over the world, you know, and hadn't made 50 cents off of a book, and I don't know when. So I do appreciate your tithes and offerings. Okay, praise God. Well, get your Bibles out this morning and go to the very first book, the book of Genesis. I'm starting a new series this morning. Genesis chapter 2. I had this message stirring in me, and before I left and went on vacation, then I was up there and looking at all the beautiful mountains and the cool in Colorado, got inspired, got it all down in here. You know, I'm all fresh, I'm on fire, guys. Y'all thought Pastor Wynn preached long. I could preach for days. But anyway, I'll try to curb myself this morning. I see so many times that, you know, and I sometimes have to question myself, because I don't want to preach from just looking at my own life, because we're all different. We've all been through different life experiences and different things, and I try to get a broad spectrum of what's going on in life and how life is and for everybody. But it seems to me that a lot of us came from religious backgrounds where we attended church and we really didn't know why we were going. We were just going because we were supposed to go, or because our parents took us, or it was the thing to do, or it was the right thing to do. And we just went to church because we were trying to honor God, but we never really grew in our life. We never really grew in our experience. We didn't learn that the Word of God was there to apply it to our lives. We just were just kind of existing and hoping and praying everything's going to be okay. But I've learned so much over my life, these last 28 years of serving the Lord, that it just doesn't work like that. It just doesn't happen. If you're going to be successful as a Christian and successful in your walk with God, and I don't mean success is having everything you've ever desired. I'm talking about getting through life's problems, getting through the turmoils of life. My life did not go exactly like I thought it should have gone. Okay? And I did a lot of praying. And I thought my life would go exactly like I had thought it would go, but it didn't. And I've had to make some alterations and changes in my own life. But you know, I've learned through those experiences that God's always there with me. He's always going to deliver me. He's always going to take me to the next place. There's always going to be victory. You just hang on. It's coming. Amen. And so this message, I'm calling it, I've got so many titles. I've got four I'm looking at for the title of this message as I'm sitting here. But it should be titled something like Sowing to the Spirit, or How to Build Your Life Like the Kingdom of God. You know, we have these religious terms like, brother, you know, you just need to be sowing more to the Spirit. And we're like, yeah. It's like I remember when I first came into the charismatic type church, a non-denominational type church, and people would say, brother, you just need to release your faith. And I was like, well, tell me where the lever is and I'll pull it. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. One of the early church services I went to, the preacher there, he's looking out across the audience, and of course I was on fire for God and didn't know anything, but I was on fire. And he says, "Brother," he says, "well, do you have a praise report?" And I stood there and thought for a minute. Finally, I said, "Well, if you'll tell me what a praise report is, I'll tell you if I got one." Because I've never heard that term in my life. And, you know, a lot of times we get religious like that, and we use all these terms that really don't mean anything to everybody else in the world or people that are just coming into Christianity. And so you say, "Well, so you need to sow to the Spirit." Well, what are we talking about? You know, when I hear that term, sow into the Spirit, it makes me think of, what is that song about? Going up to the Spirit in the sky. You know, there was a song. Okay, that's the first thing. That's probably too old. I dated myself there, but y'all with me here? So that's why I'm kind of working on my title here. But I'm talking about living a life that we're going to be living a life so that we're building our lives like the kingdom of God. We're every day sowing in our lives. We're doing the things that are pleasing to God. We're doing the things that are building us to be better Christians, to be stronger Christians, to understand our God. You don't just sleep on your Bible at night and you got it. Oh, I wish we could. Right? Okay. So if you look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, the very first thing you need to understand about God, if you're going to understand God at all, is it says in Genesis 2, 8, it says, "The Lord planted a garden." Everybody say, "planted a garden." When God created the Garden of Eden, he didn't just say, "Okay, garden be," and all of a sudden, poosh, and there it was, trees, plants, everything grown. He says he planted a garden. Whether we want to like it or not, God is a farmer. Hello? Now, there's some big farmers in here right now, and some of y'all have got gardens growing and stuff like that. But I want to tell you something. No farmer goes to the seed company, buys him a corn seed, plants it in the ground, goes back to the seed company the next day and say, "I went out there and checked my field and I ain't got no corn." Nobody expects to put a seed in the ground and get a harvest the next day. Being a farmer is one of the most difficult things that you could ever do in life. Whether you realize it or not, farmers are great faith people, because you have to believe that if you've plowed the ground right, you fertilized right, and if enough water comes, or if you've got irrigation, and you put the seed, you put it in at the right depth, and you planted good seed, that you're going to get a harvest. And then there's bugs. Huh? There's drought. There's hail. I mean, you could have it. You could have everything you need just right, and a storm come up and destroy everything you've got. Hello? Been there, done that. Bought the t-shirt. One of the saddest things I ever remember in my life was we had, in my early years, I was probably 14, we had the best oat crop we'd ever produced. And I remember my father being so proud of it. And he was just, I mean, it was just big, fat heads. It was on about a 300-acre field, and it was just right out from the house. And I remember that hearing my dad tell my mom, say, "Man, that's the best crop I've ever grown. That's the best. Everything was just right. Everything." And then that night came. Storm came, blew it all. Next morning, it was like that tall, you know, flat on the ground. And I remember walking out there. It was like the movie, like The Grapes of Wrath. There we were, the little family, farming family, standing out there, mama, daddy, sister, and brother. Everybody just downtrodden, looking out there at that oat patch, just flat. And I remember asking my dad, "What are we going to do?" And he said, "Well, we're going to see how much we can salvage." And, when I look back at that, I mean, his whole livelihood, I didn't understand the finances of it, everything. It was all right there, and it was gone in a second. You tell me being a farmer doesn't take faith? Well, God is a farmer. You know, God wants to sow his word into your life, and he's just like that. He's got a seed growing in you, and then you just do something so stupid. And God says, "Well, it's okay. You know, we'll get that. We'll get another word in them somewhere. We'll get them picked up. We'll send somebody else by them." I mean, that's our life. God doesn't just make it happen. We want God to be an instantaneous miracle worker for everything in our life. But if you're going to understand sowing in the kingdom of God in your life, it starts with a seed. And the seed is the word of God. And when it gets in your life and gets planted in your life and truly a part of you, then it starts to produce. Jesus told the parable about sowing seeds. He said, man, some are going to fall by the wayside. Some are going to fall on stony ground. Some are going to fall into the thorny ground. And only part of them are going to fall on good ground. So that means a quarter of everything God sows is only going to work. Hello? Our whole life is about a harvest. Now, if we learn what it means and this principle is and learn to sow to the Spirit, you can increase your production. Am I making sense? In other words, and I want to get into all this. I'll give you a little tip. You can sit around and you can destroy your own crop if you don't watch what you're doing. Or you can fertilize your crop if you know what you're doing. Hello? Okay. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. Jesus said, Matthew 13, 31, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and he sowed in his field, and which is indeed least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it's greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. This is a vision you need to catch about your life. Listen to me. It's selfish and self-centered to only want good for you. You hear what I'm saying? If you're a Christian only for you, you're selfish. You're self-centered. The principle of the kingdom is that the seed gets in you and you become a great big tree that there's other birds that can come and rest on your branches. In other words, you have a good word to tell somebody else. You have the ability to help somebody else and pick them up out of the mud. You have that your tree trunk is so strong that it sustained the winds and gave shelter to something else. The experiences you went through in life, okay? The experiences that you've been through in life is what you have as a testimony to tell somebody else. Are y'all with me? That's the good word you have. That's the tree you become that you're standing up there and saying, okay, come on, rest on my branches. I mean, I'm looking at Arnold sitting right here. You want to talk about somebody that battled cancer and got the victory? You want to talk to him right there. He'll tell you. Was it a walk in the park? Was it a picnic? Was it easy? No. You want to go talk to a wife who stood by a husband that went through it and you're going through the same thing? Go talk to Darla. But she's got a testimony because they overcame. Y'all with me? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They became a tree. That tree then can be a support and a sustaining branch for somebody else going through it. That's what life's about, folks. You got no, we don't want to walk through problems in life, but if you've never overcome a problem, you got no testimony. Hello? Okay, so this is what you've got to get in your mind. If you're going to understand sowing to the Spirit, you've got to understand you're a farmer. And the reason why you're farming is you're getting these seeds in your life so that you can be a blessing to others. Hello? It's the first principle you got to get down. Okay, so now let's go and let's start to look at the application of this. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at how we do this, how we put it into practice. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Is this helping this morning? Making some sense? Better than sitting at home eating potato chips? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something that he may give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed of the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. If you're going to start to learn this life of sowing to the Spirit or building the kingdom of God in your life, the very first thing that you have got to get down in order to apply this is you have got to learn to speak the truth. Now, I'm not talking about telling white lies. I'm not talking about that kind of lie. I'm talking about a truth. I'm talking about you have to understand that God is interested in truth. All right? From the perspective of the kingdom of God, if you walk up to the mirror and you look into the mirror and you say, God, you're so stupid. You just told a lie. You say, no, Pastor, I really am. Well, maybe you are, but God didn't want you talking like that. God wants his word in your heart that says you're an amazing person. You're precious in his eyes. That his thoughts towards you are more than the sands of the sea. That's the truth that God wants you to have in your life. Are y'all with me? You see, the Holy Spirit only speaks truth. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't walk in or speak truth. Truth of God's word. Truth of what God says about you. When you say, God, I don't know if I can do this, the Holy Spirit says, don't say that. Because he says, by faith you can do all things, or all things are possible to him that will believe. With God, all things are possible. Jeremiah 32:27, he's the God of all flesh and nothing's too hard for him. See, the Holy Spirit wants you to be speaking what God's word's saying, what God's truth about it is. Everything in our life, I put this down like this. There's different types of lies. You can lie to yourself by not believing what God's promises are about you. You can lie to others because you don't see them the way God does. Listen, there's something going on in this world right now, and it's, I don't really know how to explain it. I don't really know how to put my finger on it and tell you it's this or this or this, but there's something going on in this world that is stirring up racial tension. And it's trying to divide people by color. Okay? Now, I want you to understand something about God. God does not look at color. God looks at a person, a human being. He looks at a person as his creation. Are y'all with me here? All right? But I want to add this to the fact. Stupid has no bounds of color. Now listen to me, there's stupid people of every color. Come on, y'all look at me funny. I'm not trying to be ugly here. Y'all say, oh, Pastor, get off that subject. Listen, I'm not scared about racial tension. Listen, I'm not racist. I don't like stupid people. If I'm racist against anything, I'm racist against stupid people. You say, well, that's a bad word. You shouldn't say it. Stupid, 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 stupid. I'm telling you, there's stupid people out there. Ignorant. I just like, man, you're just stupid and you're sowing stupid. You have a harvest of stupid coming out of you. I can't understand how you can be so stupid. Can I just give a for instance? All this stuff that went on the state capitol, about everybody going up there, and they really stood up there and screamed, Hail Satan. Okay, if you're going to say that, do you believe it?
Well, we were just saying that to irritate the Christians.
Okay, well, let's just say that you do believe in heaven and hell. Okay, the little guy, the little hoof-footed sucker with the pitchfork, you're on his side? I mean, does that fall in the category of stupid? I mean, I don't know about y'all, and some people say, oh, I just love the heat. Well, you haven't been where I've been. I don't like the hot. I do not like 108 and humid. I don't like it. I'm sorry. I do really well at 60. I'm positive. I feel energized. I feel like I could leap a tall building if I needed to. At 108, you know, and 80% humidity, I don't care about anything. I just want to be cool. I actually bought a new ice chest because of the encouragement of my son. He's a spendthrift. But I invested in a Yeti, and I'm really thinking about getting the big one now. The biggest, I saw they got one that's big as a coffin. And I saw this thing, and I was like, sweet Jesus, there's the answer. Just put a layer of ice and a towel down, and then go out there periodically, get in the Yeti, put the lid down on you. Oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. Get out. I mean, this is how extreme I am about this. I was thinking about the other day. I said, man, I could put my foot in there. That thing's big enough. I can sit on it, put my feet in there. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't like the hot. But I'm talking about there's people just eat up with stupid. There's nothing about hell I want. Y'all with me? Okay. But when I look at people, I don't look at people because of skin color. I look at people because of stupid. This may help you. Okay? This may help you in your walk in life. So anyway, I try to see people like God sees people, but I get caught up in this. I'm just like, Lord, you need to remove them from planet Earth. Just take them home to heaven. I mean, they're so unstupid. Anyway, the third way that you're going to lie is literally you lie to God. Now, this sounds severe, and it is. Because I want to tell you something. You are lying to God every time you tell him that you can't believe he'd do it for you. See, Superman's got nothing on my Jesus. All right? I believe my God can do anything. I'm crazy. I believe my God can do anything. I've been talking to him about like the Jed Clampett situation. You know, like I shoot into the ground and oil comes out. I haven't got that quite done yet, but I'm working on it, you know. I believe my God can do anything. I don't believe that he's limited. I don't believe he's limited to anything other than what I can or can't believe him for. Hello? I brag on my God. When people say, oh, well, I don't know, you know, what's going on. Even I've kind of got it turned around. I've kind of got to where I'm not so offended when everybody calls it an act of God. I say, yeah, that's my God. Blow your house down if you don't believe in him. That's terrible. But I got to have some fun in life. I believe my God can do anything. I don't want to lie to God and say, I just can't believe it. I don't think he can do it. All right? Now, Jesus said in John 8:31, he said to the Jews who believe in him, he says, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth sets you free. Lies put you in bondage. Hear what I just said. Truth sets you free. I mean, this is an easy one, right? But think about this. Every time you lie to yourself, you actually put yourself in more bondage. Every time you lie to yourself, you put yourself in more bondage. I don't want to be in bondage. I don't like bondage. I don't like to be tied down. So every time you don't think you can do it, you're lying to yourself, you can't believe the promises of God, you are bringing yourself into more bondage. Giving the devil more and more place in your life. Getting yourself into a place where you can't find victory. I like victory. I like parades. I like the band. I like the cheering. I like the touchdown. I like the home run. I don't know about y'all. I don't like to lose. There's some people say I'm very competitive. I'm not competitive. I just don't like to lose. In any form. I'm not for a baseball game that you play that there's no score. Right? I'm for winning. And if you lose, you figure out why you lost and you get better so that you can win. I think that's God. Years ago, I was going down the road and I was praying and I was hungry for a word from the Lord. And I was just like, come on, Jesus, man, tell me something. I need to hear from heaven. And the Lord spoke something to me that changed my life. This is what he told me. I said, man, God, I just need a word. He says, be faithful, be consistent, and don't quit. I'm like, I don't want to hear that. I mean, come on. I want something, you know, burning bush kind of stuff, you know. Not be faithful, be consistent, and don't quit. But I have learned over life that I am going to win because I am going to stay faithful and consistent. I'm just going to keep moving forward. I may not be the biggest flashing shooting rocket with all the stars, but I'm just going to keep moving forward with my relationship with Jesus. And I'm just going to be faithful to just keep hitting on that wall or whatever it is and just keep moving forward and just be faithful, be consistent. And I just say, I'm not going to quit. Doesn't mean everything's going to work out perfect. Doesn't mean I'm not going to ever have a problem. Doesn't mean, you know, I'm not going to have a discouraging day. I'm just going to pick up the hammer the next day and just keep chinking at it. And you know what? When it's all said and done, I'm still going to be standing. It's really funny that over the years, pastoring even just this church, this will be 20 years. This November will be 20 years I've pastored Living Waters Church, and I'm like the last man standing around here. I've seen preachers come, preachers go. I'm still standing, still here, still declaring the Word of God, still show up on Sunday. Sometimes, not all Sundays, but I'm. But you see what I'm saying? The devil is going to be defeated in my life by sheer force of me just showing up every week telling him he's got to go. The same at my house, the same at my business, same with everything I do. It's going to be faithful, be consistent, it's going to keep chinking at it. And I want to tell you something, folks. We want this instantaneous, whew! But the bottom line is God's a farmer. It takes patience to put the seed in the ground, to let the seed grow in you. There's things in your life that you've been yearning for and you've been saying, oh, God, if you just change this to me. Listen, quit looking at what you don't have and look at what you do have, that you've got seed in the ground. Start watering it, start babying it, start taking care of it, start fertilizing it, start building it, and let that truth start to grow in your life. And then all of a sudden, one day you'll say, wow, look where I am. Most of the time, people are just like this. Here's the problem. And they pray, oh, God, you know, remove this problem. Oh, God, it's not gone. Please remove this problem. And that's the way we live our prayer life. It's just pray, instantly look and see if it's gone. But that's not how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God works on faith. And faith is that when you pray, you know it happened. Not it's going to happen. There's a big difference. You can get your whole thesis written of why God should answer your prayer and pray it to God. But if you didn't believe when you finish that your prayer was answered and it was yes and it will be solved, then you didn't pray in faith. You just gave a thesis to God. Now, I fall right in this category. Don't get mad at me, please. If you get mad at me, write a letter to Jesus about it, okay? Because I'm just speaking his word. But people say all the time, I don't know why God doesn't answer my prayer. I know why. Whether you want to agree with me or not, it's because faith isn't produced. Because the Bible says, anything you ask in faith, it will be done. So now I either have to believe you, or I have to believe the word, the truth. So back me into a corner, make me make a decision. I'm going to go with God. Because we Christians, we know what the word says, but we don't actually deep down in our hearts really believe God's going to do it. Because if you did, you wouldn't be talking to me. Do you see what I'm saying? I've got a whole message coming up in this things. I got all inspired. I got a whole message on faith I'm kind of getting over into right now that I want to come up with. But it's truth that gets established in us that we walk in. All right? The second thing you've got to understand here, you know, the first one is you've got to understand you've got to sow truth in you. The second thing is it has to be established in your church. You can know what the Word of God says. You can quote to me the Scripture. You can say, Robert, it says it here, 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 here. You can give that all to me. You can tell me what it says. But do you believe what it says? Something totally different. The truth has to be established in you. There's a man, and I don't think we have any books in the bookstore, we might, but his name is George Mueller. In the late 1800s in England, he had an orphanage. And if you go back and you read his books that he wrote, amazing stuff, because he had no support. But he just loved kids. He just wanted to help these orphan children. And so he would go out into the streets and they'd bring them the orphan kids and he would get these orphan kids, but he had no support. He had no money, no means of providing for all of these children except prayer. So he learned faith and he learned to pray. And literally the stories just are story after story after story as they'd come to the place where they didn't have any food and he'd go in there and he'd get on his knees. He'd pray, said, I thank you. This is my grocery list today. This is what we need. We need this. We need. I mean, he was very specific. You know, we need 4 gallons of milk and da 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 da. And he'd go down the whole list, tell God what it is. Thank you, Lord, for providing it. Walk down the hall. The doorbell rings. There's somebody standing there. Got a basket of groceries. Said, listen, the Lord spoke to me last night. Told me to come over, bring this to you. It'd be exactly his grocery list. I mean, just story after story. He's years. He just his relationship with God, and he had this, you know, successful orphanage, and that he had no support but prayer. But he didn't get there just by happenstance. He got there from establishing the truth of God's word in his life, to where he knew God was his provider. He knew what God would do. There wasn't a question saying, "Oh, I prayed, but is it here yet?" No, he knew it was coming. There's no worries. No stress. We Christians are all under stress. But yet God said he'd do anything. So why should we be stressed? Bottom line is we don't have the truth established in our life. We really don't believe he's going to. Look at the person beside you and say, man, old pastor, he's preaching good. Boy, I need to send him on another vacation. Look at this. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 37. John 8, 37. Jesus is speaking. He says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. He's speaking to the religious people of the day. He said, I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do not, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. See, they're looking at it as only by blood. And Jesus is looking at it to what truth they have established in them. They're saying, look, you're not acting like Abraham would act. They said, no, we're Abraham's children. Well, by blood, but by action, you're not. Hello? If you want to be a child of God, you got to learn how God acts. And it's not about your bloodline. It's about who's influencing you. Oh, Pastor Wynn nailed my hide to the wall. We were visiting and we were talking about Joseph's son, Titus. And I said, yeah, oh, Titus. I said, you know, my father had this scowl. I said, I my whole life, my father never spanked me. But he'd scowl, just send the fear of God through you, you know. And I said, Joseph, I said, my son, he's got it. And I said, but he never even really knew my father. My father died before when Joe was just about five. And I said, and then his kid acts like that too. I said, I don't know how my father could have influenced all of that. Wynn said, you don't think that maybe it's you? I said, man, I don't scowl like that. He says, you do. You just don't admit it. But see what happened. My father passed down to me, and I passed down to my son. My son passed it down to his son, and I didn't even realize this. I can't tell that story anymore. I was the missing link that was found. But see, that was a bad trait, right? But Jesus is saying to those Pharisees, he said, look, you're not even acting like Abraham. I don't care what your bloodline is. Listen to me. There's no easy in into the kingdom. You don't get in just because you were born right. It's because we take on the nature of God. So here he's talking to the Pharisees, and he goes on, he says, but you now seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this, and you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and come from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. We got to get this. We got to get an understanding of this. Because a person says they're a Christian, don't mean squat. Listen, I'm sorry to, you know, sorry to step on toes, but I want to tell you something. You can get all the doctrine you want to, and you can talk about once saved, always saved. Nah, man, I made my confession at the altar of the church when I was 3 years old. Well, God, I got some water sprinkled on me, and I did this and that. I want to tell you something, buddy. What is coming from your life? Don't stand around and tell me you're a Christian when you act like the devil. Beelzebub. I'm not trying to put condemnation on us. I'm just trying to say, listen, people want to go around and judge people, like I said, for the deadly sins of drinking, smoking, and dancing. But there is a lot more wicked stuff in people that profess to be a Christian that is just a bunch of bull. Don't stand around and tell me you're a Christian and you act like the devil. Why do they act like the devil? Because they don't have the truth established in their life. Folks, we as Christians have to have the truth established in our lives. You got to know the truth, and then you have to establish it. That's a part of building the kingdom of God and sowing to the Spirit or building the kingdom within your life. Listen, putting people down, condemnation, guilt, putting garbage upon people, racist, this and that and the other. That's not, none of that's biblical. None of that looks like my Jesus. But then I may shock some people when you say, oh yeah, sitting in a bar? Eating with sinners? Partying at a wedding? No. Making a whip? Attempting to beat religious people? Jesus, folks, listen. He took a whip, kicked over tables, thrashed and beat, scared the life out of everybody that are running out of the temple. That's pretty severe. And he was not with his hair stroking a lamb as he was going by. Sometimes in life we have to break the religious traditions of our life to find out what is the truth and then get that truth established in our life. I mean, it's so funny because I'm going to go preach for this pastor who actually has his church off the side of a bar, and it's a biker church, and Sunday morning, I mean, the bikers have gathered and they're coming to the bar. And he's got church that's connected to the bar. I'm like, I like this. This sounds like something right. That sounds like someplace Jesus would be. Huh? Walking in a place. Because it says he went and ate with sinners. Well, if you're never going to get around, quote, sin, then how are you going to eat with sinners? What a better place to have a church than off the side of a bar. You know, I got to tell you this. I dressed up. I didn't dress up. I actually just dressed. I don't have to dress up much. And rode my bike to a church here one of the Sundays that I was off to see how I'd be accepted. I made sure I had on about 3-day-old dirty pants. Shirt was all wrinkled up. Had my cap turned backwards. And went to this church. Yeah, I loved it. Only thing I was scared of was somebody was going to know me. Because I was just waiting, man. I was loaded for bear. For somebody to come up and say, well, sir, I don't think this is really the church you need to be in. Man, I was loaded for bear. I was just going to rip into them right there. And amazingly, a few people sidestepped me, kind of got out of my way and walked into the service and happened to be a guy that was sitting on the back of the pew that looked about like me. And he said, hey, come over here, sit by me. See, I don't like religious people. I can't stand that kind of stuff. And I just had been wanting to do this for a long time to see. Just wanted somebody to try to throw me out of church. What I'm saying is you got to have the truth established in you. Just because you look religious doesn't mean you have the truth established in you. It's one thing to be able to quote it and do that, but is it established in you? Is it a part of your life? Is it the nature of God coming forth from you? You're not going to get there unless you establish it in you. And you're not going to be able to establish it unless you know what the truth is. You see, you may want to take a Bible study yourself and just read the book of Matthew if you want to. And just look and see, and really don't read it with a religious mind. Just read through the book of Matthew and see what places did Jesus go? What did he do? How did he act? Don't do it with a religious mind. Don't try to put, you know, him walking along the road, stroking the little lamb's head image in your mind. Just start thinking about Jesus walking down a dusty road. Have you ever walked down a dusty road? What would you look like? In a pair of sandals. You know? He's been in the cemeteries. Do you realize how today that if Jesus was just fulfilling the Gospel of Matthew and you observed him, that you may think things were a little strange? Crazy guy in the cemetery, and you look out there and Jesus is out there talking to him? You know, going by the local bar. There he is. Up in church on Sunday. Behind the pulpit.
I just saw him in the bar yesterday.
See what I'm saying? Because judgment gets in there. When you're religious, you get judgmental. And so then you don't really know what the truth is because the truth's not established in you. Oh, well, I've meddled a lot today. I don't know about y'all, but I want to sow to righteousness. I want to do what's right. I want to be pleasing to God. I want to be pleasing to God. And there's no way you're going to do this and build your life and build it unless you start to apply some of these principles to your life. You got to get the truth in you. You got to get the truth established in you. You're not going to know what the truth is unless you read your word. So that's your challenge this week. It's not very long, the book of Matthew. I mean, 28 chapters. If you don't like Matthew, go read Mark. It's only 16. All right? 16 chapters. That's it. 16 little chapters. You could read the entire book of Mark in 20 minutes. But I challenge you this week, read the book of Mark. I want to give you that one. It's only 16. Read the book of Mark. And go look at that and just start picking out the places that Jesus is in. Just start looking at Jesus and start, don't look at it with a religious mind. Look at it. Who was Jesus? And when you start to see that, then say, you know, okay, that's how I want to be. That's how I want to be. Amen? Amen. Well, put your Bibles up. Stand to your feet if you would, please. Can I have my prayer team come down? You know, church, I believe in prayer. I believe prayer works. The Bible says if two of us agree as touching anything, it'd be done by our Father in heaven. That's pretty straightforward. Doesn't leave a lot of variables in there. But if you're here today and you need prayer, or you've got something that's weighing you down and you want prayer, well, we're here to agree with you. I'm here to believe God will touch your life, change you, bless you, do whatever. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, well, I want to tell you something. Do not walk out of that door. Do not go outside that door. Do not pass go. You will not receive $200. You need to come up here and talk to one of these people. Because the Bible says it's so simple that a man shouldn't live in fear of hell or anything else. In fear of his relationship with his God. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he will come into your life. And he'll touch you. He'll change you. Forgive you of your sins. Clean you up. Make heaven your home. That you can have full assurance to know that when you die, you're headed to heaven. And if you don't have that assurance, well then, we want to just pray with you. That's what he said. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. We want to pray with you. So, you know, I'm just not much of a namby-pamby kind of guy. A lot of preachers give altar calls a lot of different ways. But I say if God's pounding on your heart today, well, then don't walk out the door. Walk up here and let him pray with you. My goodness. What a great and glorious thing to know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Amen? So, don't leave. If you need prayer, we're here for you. But if you would take the hand of the person beside you and do something for me, look at that person on your left and look at the person on your right and say, you're going to make it. Come on. Look at them and say, you're going to make it. And I'm going to pray for you and dismiss you out into this world so y'all can go be some world changers. Amen? Father, I just declare in Jesus' name that these awesome people that you've gathered here today, they came, Lord God, today to worship you, to give glory and honor to you. They came here today, Lord, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. They came in here to gather in the house of God to worship you. And I just declare, Lord, today that they're blessed. I thank you, Lord, for your hand upon them. This week as we go out, Lord, I thank you for just giving us a divine appointments that we're going to run across people who need to be encouraged, that need to know some good word and some good news that Jesus loves them, and we're going to have a word for them. Lord, I ask you today to just make a way where there seems to be no way, so where people feel like things are too difficult, that the truth gets in their lives, gets established in us, so that we can walk in victory. So, Lord, I thank you for it. And I praise you for it. Now, bless them, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, church, we're up here for you to pray with you. If you need anything, God bless you. Go get them.